This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Or about our Joycasts.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre presents Well, Well, Well on Joy, a show that's all about sex, health, and well-being.
Joy, joy, joy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Well, Well, Well show, brought to you live every Tuesday at this time, midday.
I think we should call it the Cold, Cold, Cold show today because the three of us have got colds.
I haven't got a cold.
Well, you had a cold on the weekend.
Well, I'm sort of coming out of mine, so I'm feeling a lot better.
I think it's just the change of season.
Yeah.
Everyone gets sick.
So we're not feeling too well, well, well today.
Well, mine's not so much a cold, more sadness, because this could be my last show.
It could be.
It is.
And we're very sorry to see...
Let's get real.
Anthony is moving on from VAC.
I know.
On to bigger things.
Yeah, baby!
Well, I'm moving up in the world. I'm leaving the boys behind.
Yeah, and you're going to... do further education, further studies, aren't you?
I am, and I intend to do more active work in the GLBTI community, so I'll be serving all of us, thank you very much.
Okay.
Speaking of which, we've got an interesting show coming up today. We're going to continue the series of relationship violence or family violence. We're going to be talking about family violence in the gay male community.
That's right. The last few weeks we've been discussing family violence from various perspectives, such as the police responses, lesbian relationships and violence, and also relationship violence more broadly in the GLBTI community.
So, look, I want to encourage everybody, you can go to the Joy website and you can download the podcasts and you can actually hear the series of conversations that we've been having on that topic.
Absolutely. And this show, today, we'll be taking a look at same-sex violence in intimate relationships and how VAC's Men's Behaviour Change Program has supported men to stop using violence towards their partners and or family members. We've got a very special guest today, Dr. Kieran O'Loughlin, I should say, Senior Clinician, Training Capacity Building. He's also the Men's Behaviour Change Program Facilitator from the Revisioning Program at VAC. Anthony, who's our lovely co-host, of course, and it's probably his last show. Kieran's co-facilitator of that group. And we'll hear from both Kieran and Anthony about what it's like to run both these groups. Yeah.
But one thing that we love it when you get involved in the conversation with us, and we're going to remind you throughout the show how to do that, but give us a, there's a, an opportunity that you can text in. It's 0427-JOY-949. You can call us on 1300-JOY-949. You can email us on onair@joy.org.au. And of course, you can visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/wellwellwell.
So get involved, and this is a fairly sensitive topic, so we'll provide some numbers for you if you are experiencing violence in your relationship, or you may be using violence in your relationship and really want to do something about that. So, but a very important topic for us to discuss.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we're discussing family violence in same-sex male relationships today. Our guest is Dr. Kieran O'Loughlin from VAC, but also Anthony, one of our co-hosts here at Joy. And Kieran is the Senior Clinician in Training and Capacity Building and runs the Men's Behaviour Change Program at VAC called Revisioning. Kieran, welcome to the show, and also...
Thank you.
And also welcoming Anthony as a guest as well.
An interviewee.
Not really a guest.
Now, Kieran, just to start with you, can you tell us a bit about your role at VAC, and in particular, your role in the Revisioning program?
Okay, so I'm one of the counsellors there, and also I have a coordinating role in terms of training and capacity building. So training within the organisation and training other organisations around the kinds of issues we deal with, both in counselling but more broadly across the organisation.
And what's the purpose exactly of revisioning? What does it do? What's it mean? Anthony?
Yes. Well, look, revisioning is a... these programs are funded by the state, and they are, I guess, one response to men's violence against women in heterosexual relationships. So they are run right around the state, and they're governed by an organisation called No to Violence, who set the minimum standards and the requirements for how how these programs should be run. And the Victorian AIDS Council has an accredited men's behaviour change program, which is connected to No to Violence. But it's a special program because it's specifically tailored to respond to gay and bisexual men's violence in their relationships, or same-sex male-attracted men, I should say. So it is the one of its kind in Australia. And actually, I don't know if there exists one anywhere else.
No, not that I'm aware of.
No. Yeah.
Now, listen, we've discussed it over the past weeks, but can we maybe look at why we use the term relationship violence rather than the family violence?
Okay, so I think one of the problems with the term family is that men in same-sex relationships may not relate to that term, that their relationships may not be even domestic. They may be people who don't live together. They may have a number of partners. So the notion of family violence is potentially at odds with same-sex attracted men's experience of relationships.
And that could really, I mean, if we hung on to the term family violence, we could really exclude people, as Kieran said, people who have perhaps sort of multiple partners over a period of time in an ongoing way. And let's just say violence does happen in those. And when we say violence, it could be, you know, sexual violence, it could be psychological, it could be financial control, any sort of intimidating or scary behaviours that may not be physical, for example. They may exist in all sorts of those types of relationships. So the word family violence could really not sort of reach those people who may be trying to think about their behaviours.
I mean, really, in a broader context, that could be applied as well. I mean, not just to our community, true. But absolutely. To the wider community as well.
That's true, but I think it has a particular resonance for our community.
Absolutely.
And the term violence too, you were talking about the broader issues there about controlling, intimidating practices. Yeah. Excuse me, the term violence sort of narrows it down, and people may not be aware that they're being intimidated.
And again, I don't want to harp on, but we had Gabby, the police liaison officer, talk about all the different types of violence. It's not just physical.
But it is interesting, that point, because some men don't identify that they've been using violence or have been subject to violence because it hasn't necessarily involved something physical.
Yeah, and generally when guys come to our program and we do talk about, you know, the Family Violence Protection Act and how it defines violence and also how we refer to violence in our group, some people are often, for the first time, hearing how broad the definition of violence is. So basically any behaviour that causes another individual to feel coerced or controlled or intimidated or apprehensive, those behaviours could be considered violence.
So what are some examples of that?
Especially in the gay community, it could be threatening to out your partner if they're not out. Or threatening to out anyone could be a violent act.
And ditto in relation to HIV status.
Yes.
Sure.
That seems to be used quite often, that threat.
Yeah, that is a major one as well. I guess the other one in our community, I worked with a client who was constantly concerned that his partner was not out and didn't want him to dress in particular ways or even walk or behave in particular ways that other people might view as, you know, oh, he's gay or, you know, that's a bit feminine.
Long boat, isn't it, for a partner to say, I don't want you to wear that colour, I don't want you to walk like that.
Well, the thing that made it abusive was the fact that there would be consequences for him if he did so. So because he was so worried about anyone identifying him as gay.
Yeah. By association.
Yes. He developed all these incredibly controlling behaviours over his partner.
I would imagine that kind of presenting situation for someone wouldn't be isolated, would it? That sounds like a common...
Yes, it is. Yeah. And thank you for saying that because... Yeah. Relationship violence in the GLBTI community is incredibly common, and one of the concerns we have, not just Kieran and I with running the revisioning group, but other service providers in our community, is that it happens just as frequently as heterosexual women experience violence from their heterosexual male partners. So the research is starting to indicate that, and we are, you know, I think it needs a sort of serious response.
How do you get somebody to acknowledge the fact that they do need help that they need to participate in this program? That they've got to acknowledge a lot about themselves, don't they?
Well, I think...
And their relationship.
I think we need to go back a step and have a look at the messages we're sending to our community, mm-hmm. and the fact that, as just, I guess, a simple example, like we said about using the term family, which can often conjure up images like the nuclear family, which the gay community doesn't necessarily relate to. So we need to change the conversation about our relationships and actually what's happening in them.
And I think also, you know, the whole notion of family violence, to use that terminology, is very based on the assumption that it's men who commit violence against women. It's based on a feminist ideology that men are always the perpetrators, women are the victims. So that doesn't translate easily into the same-sex context, where you've got both women and men as perpetrators and women and men as victims.
Joy.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, any show, anytime, joy.org.au. This is Well, Well, Well. SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au to have your say.
That's right. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And today we are discussing same-sex male relationship violence. Last week it was same-sex women's violence, and you can download the podcast for that. But today it's same-sex male violence.
Right. And
I'm just wondering, exactly, we're talking about the revisioning program that you get men to participate in. What is it? What happens at revisioning? How do you get people to it? What happens
right there? So revisioning is a program that the VAC run for, and it's for same-sex attracted men who would like to address their use of violence in their relationship. So these are incredibly brave men who come to this program, who are putting their hand up to say, look, I have an issue with my behaviour, with my anger, my violence, and I want to do something about it, which is incredibly difficult for people to do, because there are a whole lot of sort of judgments and some fears of about how they might be viewed as violent men and those sorts of things. So it is a very respectful service. It's a 12-week program, and Kieran and I in the group invite the men to take responsibility for their behaviour by firstly being able to talk about what specific violence they've been using in their relationships, and we offer some skills and techniques that which can support them to find more effective ways of responding in their relationship during times of conflict when they're feeling triggered. So we're not necessarily taking away anger, because we're human, you know, we're going to feel angry from time to time, but it's about using the tools and resources that we have to be able to make more safer and effective choices so that we can actually participate in conflict in a more respectful way.
Mm-hmm. How many people do you actually get that sort of show an interest for to participate, and then the retention throughout the... Because I could imagine it would be confronting for a lot of...
It is. Look, at the VAC, the numbers sort of trickle through here and there throughout the year. And in the last program, we probably had about a dozen men interested. Mm-hmm. And we had about 7 men who came to the program. I run these groups in mainstream services also, and I'll tell you now, to try and get into one of those groups is incredibly difficult. They fill up, there's waiting lists, and, you know, those groups have very strong connections to corrections and the magistrates' courts. A lot of mandated clients go to those groups. The VAC is still in the early stages of building those relationships and strengthening those referral pathways.
And can I say that Anthony has worked really hard in this area to drum us up more business, but he's struck a number of barriers in terms of recruiting people to the program, haven't you, this year?
Yeah, there are a lot of barriers, because a lot of services aren't firstly aware, unfortunately, that our group exists and is designed for same-sex attracted men. The courts, we have a good relationship with the police, and we've mentioned Gabby Tyack, the gay and lesbian liaison officer, who is an incredibly important resource to our program, and she's in constant communication with us about our group and how to improve sort of police referrals to our program. But look, a lot of work exists, and I think it needs to well, this is just my opinion, but the conversations need to be had in our community, even informally. I think we need to start talking about the relationship violence in our community.
So is it particularly different for us to deal with this issue in a same-sex context as opposed to mainstream services for people to attend?
Well, I think same-sex attracted men have particular needs that are best met in terms of a dedicated group for them. I think there's a potential problem of same-sex attracted men going into heterosexual men's groups where...
Well, they probably wouldn't go, would they?
They probably wouldn't go because they would feel threatened. They wouldn't know how well their sexuality and their relationships are actually accepted.
Yes.
They may even feel potentially under threat.
Sure, because the whole issue, if your relationship is not validated as legitimate by society, and many people have that view, why would participating in a program to help you in that relationship, why would that be expected to work, I guess?
Yeah. That's right. And, you know, one of the big topics we look at is the impact of homophobia on men and how that plays out in their relationships. Well, if they were mixed in with heterosexual men who might be perpetrating that homophobia, if you like, that's a potentially, you know, very triggering kind of environment.
Yeah. What's the example that you used before, Tony, with the partner wanting the other partner to act more masculine?
Yeah, and in mainstream groups, I guess, and I know service providers who have worked with clients in their group who have been same-sex attracted, but if I guess the thing about VACs, we use a, you know, queer affirmative framework when we're doing the men's behaviour change work, and that's very important. It's being sort of very aware of what the life and circumstances of GLBTI people actually involves in their relationships.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well Well Well. SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au to have your say.
That's right. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And joining us for this discussion regarding same-sex male violence is Kieran from VAC's Revisioning Program and also our colleague Anthony. First of all, are there any messages that's coming?
Yes, there are. And the Naomi has texted in and she says, do you think that there needs to be more education earlier, specifically in the secondary school environment for students in this area?
What do you think, Kieran?
Well, it's an interesting question, isn't it? Given that same-sex relationships probably don't receive much attention
at all.
Yeah. So we need to have the relationships acknowledged before we can acknowledge that there can be problems in them, like violence.
Yes.
Yeah, because that reminds me of my niece who came. She's in year seven and came home and she was talking about having sex education at school. And when I asked whether or not they talked about gay sex, she looked at me like I was, you know, dumbfounded.
Yes, that's right.
Because they don't, do they?
Yeah, no, yeah. They don't. Yeah. They don't.
And we have one more message. So Michelle has also texted in and she says, this is the first time I've heard the term relationship violence used. Being a survivor of family violence and now working with individuals who have or who are experiencing violence in relationships, I will now change the term I use. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle.
It's good that there's something we can offer to people just thinking the way they use their language.
Well, it's a more inclusive term and it can make a difference.
Mm, that's right. Now, we're talking about the revisioning program. So how is it different from other things? And how do you, if somebody came along to you, if somebody came along to VAC and they were interested in it, what would they expect to find? How is it all handled from the point of when they first contact you?
Okay, well, so, Anthony, do you want to just handle the first contact?
Yeah, so when they come through, they will have to participate in an assessment, which is about a 1 and 1.5 hour long I guess, appointment where we ask some questions about their circumstances and the relationship. And it's basically a process for us to identify whether or not they're eligible for the program. And I guess the first thing is we would need them to want to be able to, I guess if they're using violence, to want to be able to sort of change that or stop that or to do something about it. Because if people are coming to the program or wanting to sign up for the program, but they don't want to change their behavior, they're probably not ready for this particular group. So,
well, you would think if they were wanting to sign up for the program that they would,
thought
no?
that through.
Well, there are mandated clients who are court ordered to come along. And
many same-sex ones?
Yes. Oh. I did have a same-sex attracted mandated client come along. So so the motivation to want to change needs to be there. Mm.
I think what makes this group different perhaps from perhaps some of the other groups at VAC is that the others are mostly support oriented, mm-hmm. whereas this group is not so much support oriented. There's a component of that, but it's actually about trying to help men become more responsible for their violence and to work on reducing it.
Yes, and there's a particular way of doing that because although it's not thought of as a therapeutic group, the men may find the process therapeutic because they finally get to talk about their behaviours with other men who also use violence, and there's a sense that, you know, I'm not alone, this is happening in other relationships, and that I can sort of talk openly about that in this safe environment here. But the facilitators, we also work in a particular way where we're sort of trying to sort of in a very respectful way challenge any sort of violence promoting attitudes.
And I was just about to ask that because if you're talking to a collective of men that are all identifying that they use violence, can it go there in terms of?
Well, the thing, we're there to address behaviours, and that's why they call it a behaviour change program. But we're also examining attitudes which are linked to behaviours. One of the things we know about these programs when groups do their sort of internal evaluations, we find that the use of physical violence tends to cease completely at the point of assessment. Mm-hmm. So men come in who use a range of different forms of violence. Physical violence tends to stop, but throughout the program, the evaluations show us that other forms of violence tend to increase, like verbal abuse or perhaps even emotional abuse. So I guess in that sense, we know that there might be a sort of underlying sort of attitude or idea about power and control in the relationship, but one type of behaviour may have ceased. And that's why we also tackle attitudes and beliefs and those sorts of things.
What role does drugs play in, obviously we know that drugs can play a large part in violence, but in terms of the coordination of this group, are drugs covered?
Well, we do. The VAC does have a free drug and alcohol service for people who want to manage their substance abuse. But drugs and violence, there is an association there. We're very careful with how we talk about that because some people may believe that drugs or alcohol causes violence because it might be under those circumstances where they may have behaved that way.
Yes.
But we do know that that's not true. Drugs and alcohol don't cause violence because anytime any of us would have a drink, we'd be behaving violently. So we're really looking at the underlying pre-existing belief about perhaps relationships and power and control and decision making and those sorts of things that may already be there that might make it perhaps easier for the individual to go on to make a decision to be violent.
So we're not looking at drug use as the fundamental cause of violence, are we?
No.
It may be a trigger or it may exacerbate the problem,
yes.
But the fundamental issue, as Anthony says, is about power and control.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a peer-based group. They're there for the same reason. There's peer, the shared
experience. Well, it's peer in two senses. They're all same-sex attracted,
yep.
And
yep.
The facilitators are same-sex attracted.
Okay. Well, how do the men who participate in it, how do they respond to working on their violence in such a group like that? Is it it must be challenging?
Well, it's interesting because the peer-related thing,
yep.
is a great strength because it means that they have that same shared experience.
And there's a safety.
There is a safety, issue there. Although there's also a complication in that there's the possibility that those men may be attracted to each other or have a negative reaction,
yep.
to each other.
Mm. Or may know one another from the scene.
There is that too. So there are big issues around confidentiality. Mm. But I think, yes, those possibilities of attraction or even hostility towards other men in the group, that can add some emotional complexity to them.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it is a really unknown area about how we deal with these dynamics, because this is the only men's behaviour change program that would have to really grapple with this, unless there are other men in mainstream groups who are attracted to each other and don't necessarily openly identify as same-sex attracted. But it's an important point.
Exactly. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Hi, Jason Gibbs here, Joy 94.9 production manager. Want to learn more about radio or audio editing? We're often looking for people to join our team as program production audio producers, responsible for producing podcasts just like this one. Get involved, meet new people, and learn new skills. Join one of the biggest community radio contributors of podcasts by volunteering for Joy's program production team. All skill levels welcome, no prior knowledge of audio production is required, and best of all, training is free for all Joy members. Keep an eye on the volunteer vacancies page at joy.org.au, and if we're looking for people to join our team, it'll tell you how to get involved right there. The Joy 94.9 program production team, powering Joy podcasts. Any show, anytime, online at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening. This is Well, Well, Well.
On Joy 94.9, and we are discussing same-sex male violence in relationships with Kieran and Anthony from the VAC. Now, you guys were talking about the perpetrators, the people who identify they've got an issue with violence. What about the other side of the coin? You're working with people who do commit the violence in many ways and forms, some subtle and some covert, overt. But what about the victim? What about their partners in the relationship? What support do we provide?
This is one of the great things about men's behaviour change programs, which this aspect does. You don't see it in anger management groups and other programs. So we have a partner contact service, which is attached to the men's behaviour change program. So the partner contact service is really a service that it's voluntary, so partners can decide whether or not they want to participate while their partners are in the men's group. And that's just a service it's a telephone service where we sort of do this kind of ongoing conversation with the partners, where we assess, you know, risk for them. We offer ways that they can increase their safety, and or we can sort of offer them other services. They might want to come in and do some individual work themselves or be referred to one of our groups.
But who does that? Do you do these follow-up calls, both Kieran and Anthony, or does another counsellor?
No, the facilitators of the group do not play that role generally. It's another dedicated worker who is the partner contact worker who's a part of the group. So
that's to keep those two things separate.
And the men are very clear that their partners are being contacted. It is a very transparent way of working. So, and we find that it's actually quite a sort of valuable part of the program, that we do hear the voices of partners along the way.
And I guess that also provides a way of assessing the success or otherwise of what you're being told from... I don't know.
It is exactly, because it's, you know, I guess someone to vouch for you, because, you know, you could be hearing sort of one thing in the group, and partners could be saying, well, actually I'm continuing to experience violence. So we do have a responsibility as an agency to help to increase the safety of partners, and also, you know, if there are any sort of I guess at times criminal behaviours going on, we need to where there's a responsibility around responding to that appropriately.
So what would you say to somebody who's listening to the program right now, or is listening to the podcast, and they're wondering, do I fit the criteria for this group?
Well, I think the most important thing is to make contact with us, come in and have a chat, we can do an assessment, see if it's appropriate to either start doing individual counselling or wait until the next group starts, because we can also offer, you know, tailor-made individual programs for people as well as the group.
And the other thing I would say is to the listener who's wondering about his own behaviour, I would say it takes you know, incredible courage to come into a service and to talk about violence to a service provider, because there are a whole lot of sort of issues attached to that. You know, they might be worried about being judged, they're worried about, you know, how they might be viewed. But I think that if these behaviours, and we do know, the literature tells us, if these behaviours aren't addressed in adequately early enough, they don't go away and they don't get better. They actually end up getting worse.
If somebody came in, I'm just throwing something at you now. If somebody came in to see you as a counsellor and they said that they were in a domestic same-sex relationship violence situation. You're dealing with them. How do you manage to... What advice would you give them in regard to their partner who is perpetrating the violence? I mean...
So someone who's been subjected to
it? Yeah, yeah. But they're coming to see you and saying, oh, I've got this problem in this relationship, but the partner's not there, not participating in any way. They go back into that relationship.
Well, look, we're not there to break people up. That's up to the individual to decide. We're there to help to increase the safety to that person. Mm-hmm. And generally when we work with people in relationships where violence is present, but some people don't necessarily want the relationship to end. They just want the violence to stop. So we will work with whatever presentation they... We don't sort of have a bias to get them out of a relationship or to keep that in it. We're really working with the needs of that individual.
Yeah, sure.
I'm curious, and I don't know whether I'm taking this completely into another...
Realm.
What about the master sub culture that we have with kink, with the kink community? I would imagine...
Like BDSM?
You've got this master slave type kink that's it's quite open in the community. Perhaps maybe is there a possibility that that relationship can go to a point where it's crossed the line?
And the daddy twink thing.
It's an interesting question, Murray. I think for me, the first word that comes to mind is consent. I'm thinking in that kind of context, the both parties are consenting to what's happening.
Yeah.
I think when we talk about relationship violence, we're fundamentally talking about somebody not giving consent to being abused.
Yeah.
I think that's the critical point there. Yeah. So if you are listening, I just wanted to say, and you are concerned about your behaviour, please call the VAC on 9865 6700. That's 9865 6700, and talk to a counsellor or the intake worker about the revisioning program.
Between 10 and 4 is the best time to call and ask for the duty worker.
And if you're at imminent risk.
Yes, and if you're being subjected to violence, if you're intimidated or afraid of what's going on in your relationship, please don't hesitate to call either the VAC or in immediate circumstances, call 000.
Joy.
This is Well on Joy 94.9, and we've been discussing same-sex male relationship violence. And we've been talking to both Kieran O'Loughlin, Dr. Kieran from VAC, and Anthony in your role as a counsellor at VAC. Thank you very much, Kieran, in coming in.
Sir, it's a pleasure.
I can't believe it's almost time for us to go, and this is a very auspicious occasion, because not only is it Anthony's last official appearance on Well as a co-host or a host, it's also your birthday, Anthony.
Yes,
it was a special
you're
day yesterday.
You're how old? 21?
I am. I won't say how old I am, but I experienced ageism for the first time on the weekend. I won't go into that. I've already, I'm going to see my counsellor about that after.
Something tells me it wasn't the first time.
You better
sure.
get used to it. When your hair, when you spend a lot of money changing
honey,
your hair.
Honey, I dye my hair once a week.
Oh, okay. But look, we'll be back next week with Well. But also, just a little news item. Next week, on Saturday, this Saturday, July the 4th, at the Laird Hotel, there is Surf and Turf. It's the Melbourne Surge and the Melbourne Chargers, both of the partnerships guys with the well-known to Joy and also to the VAC. They're having a special night at the Laird on the 4th, Saturday, called Surf and Turf. That's Surge and the Chargers. It's Beauty versus Brawn.
And we got a little bit of insight in terms of what games they'll be playing.
We did, Murray.
Very, very exciting.
It's well worth it. So, go along. I think there's a door cover charge. I think it's
a small cover.
Charge at the door. But go along on this Saturday for Surf and Turf with the Chargers and Surge.
But we're going to recap how people can get involved with revisioning.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Kieran.
Okay. So, if people are interested in revisioning or addressing their violence in other ways, they can contact the duty worker at VAC on 9865 6700 between 10 and 4, and we can take it from there. We'll then invite the person in for an assessment and work out what's the most appropriate next step. In terms of the actual group, the next group will be running in September. So we're looking out for people who are interested in joining that group.
And I've yet met a man who has come along to these groups and not got something out of it. So they're incredibly dynamic and powerful and really educational.
Absolutely. Well, that's it from us.
Yet again, we'll be back though next week.
I won't be,
time.
But you guys
no,
will
no,
be.
No, Anthony, and I probably won't be here. I'll be another
someone,
crew.
Someone from the Well team will be
but,
here.
But at 12 noon every Tuesday until 1 o'clock with the VAC Well show.
This is Well on Joy 94.9. See you later, everybody.
Ciao.
Bye. Bye. This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.